2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, of course, is Paul's second letter to the Church of Corinth. By way of background, the Church of Corinth was established during Paul's second missionary journey. We read of that in Acts chapter 18. From verse 11 of Acts 18, we read that he continued there a year and 6 months, so a year and a half, teaching the Word of God among them. Following that, we see that Paul left Corinth, went to Ephesus. And in Ephesus, he received news that the Corinthian church was not willing, nor did they fully break from their surrounding culture. As a result, the church was filled with worldliness. There were many factions. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians to rebuke them, to correct some of the problems that existed in the church. By the time we come to 2 Corinthians, false teachers had entered the church, been teaching a false gospel, and along with that had turned the church against Paul, resulting in many unjust charges and insinuations against Paul. So Paul writes this second letter, and he's now dealing with perhaps the most difficult of all ministerial trials, and that is opposition from within the church. And in doing so, throughout the letter, he bears his soul unto them. He defends his conduct. He defends his character. He defends his call to the ministry. And he instructs and encourages them to serve the Lord. We'd like to read 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 1. Therefore, seeing or since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now this is a continuation from what has been previously said. That is evidenced, of course, by the opening word, therefore. And Paul is dealing with his ministry, and he began to address that in chapter 3. So he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Again, remember why Paul is writing this letter. Throughout the chapter, Paul speaks of ministerial difficulties and sufferings that he was experiencing, again, because the church had turned against him. But what we want to notice is verse 1, we faint not. And then he repeats it in verse 16, for this cause we faint not. What he is saying is we do not lose heart, we do not become discouraged, but we have strength to continue on. And though the chapter 4 is primarily, would apply primarily to pastors, what Paul writes here is also supplies much encouragement to the child of God who simply desires to continually serve the Lord. So we want to take the main thought of the message from that statement, again, twice made, we faint not. We faint not. That, of course, needs to be true of each of God's people in God's service. So we want to speak this morning on faint not living. First thing we want to notice is Paul speaks of some of his difficulties and sufferings. And again, primarily they would apply to pastors, that's what he's dealing with, but they apply to everybody. The twofold usage of that phrase, we faint not, must be taken in the context of the difficulties and sufferings that Paul speaks of. So we want to notice some of these circumstances. First of all, there was satanic opposition. In verse 4, he mentions Satan and his power to blind eyes. And you and I are called to serve God in a world where Satan roams about and he has great disabling power. And he is the embodiment of evil. And he is wicked. And he is deceitful. And he is very alluring, even to the people of God. But we are called upon to serve God in the face of satanic opposition. There will always be in this life, when there is an attempt to serve God, there will always be satanic opposition. And it does not always come from where you would most expect it to come from. But there will always be satanic opposition. With that in mind, hear Paul say, we faint not. Though Satan has great disabling power, the power to blind eyes, Paul says, I do not faint. I do not lose heart. Secondly, we live in very fragile bodies, and we serve God in these bodies. In verse 7, he refers to the fact that we are earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. In verse 11, he uses the words mortal flesh. And in verse 16, he tells us that this earthen vessel, this mortal flesh, is in a perishing state. And in chapter 5 and verse 1, he speaks of our earthly house. And then he goes on to say that such can be dissolved or terminated. In verse 4 of chapter 5, he speaks of this tabernacle or this tent. In all of these verses, he's referring to our earthly bodies. We are called upon to serve the Lord in bodies that, to just put it plain and simple, get in the way. These bodies get in the way. And these bodies can be a hindrance to serving the Lord. In light of that, hear Paul say, we faint not. These bodies are subject to tiredness. They are subject to weakness. They are subject to pain. They are subject to decay. and they are limited in a variety of ways. But they must not be allowed to cause us to lose heart in the service of the Lord. These bodies are decaying. Most of us here understand that truth. Most of us here understand, because we are experiencing it, that this tent that we live in is wearing down. We are reminded of it because we wake up with aches and pains that we never had before. And we wake up and our limbs do not move as rapidly or as easily as they once did. We often use the phrase, "I used to be able." That is a testimony that this tent is wearing down. These bodies are designed to wear down. They're going to break down in time. But these are the bodies that God has given us to live in. These are the bodies in which we are to serve God. And in light of that fact, and in light of the fact that they are decaying, in light of the fact that they are dissolving, we faint not. In light of the fact that these bodies can get in the way, these bodies can limit us in many ways, Paul says, we do not allow that to cause us to lose heart in God's service. Thirdly, there are many trials and difficulties. He says in verse 8, we are troubled on every side. On every side means that he was encompassed. He was hemmed in. He says we are troubled. That is, Paul is saying, everywhere I turn, there are problems. Everywhere I turn, there are difficulties. Everywhere I turn, there are afflictions. It doesn't have to be our own. But everywhere we turn, there are inconveniences. Everywhere we turn, there are agitations and burdens and heartaches and miseries. He says, we are troubled on every side. He also says in verse 8, we are perplexed. What he's saying is, we are puzzled. We are often dumbfounded. We often do not know what to do. In verse 9, he says, we are persecuted. That is, oppressed, abused, mistreated, harassed, tormented. Also in verse 9, he says, we are cast down, or we have been thrown down. But though he was troubled, though he was perplexed, though he was persecuted and cast down, hear him say, we faint not. Everywhere I turn, he says, there's troubles. And this causes perplexity of mind. And there is always persecution. And we're always being thrown down. But I do not faint. I do not lose heart. He goes on to say in verse 10, always bearing about in the body, that's that earthly body that he's already talked about, the dying of the Lord Jesus. The idea is that his body, his physical body, had the marks, the stripes of punishment and persecution. He was always exposed to a violent death. Likewise, he said in Galatians 6 and verse 17, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He says here in verse 11, we are always delivered unto death. And he says in verse 12, death worketh in us. That is, it's constantly employed, inflicting pain upon us. But in the face of all of that, Paul again says, we faint not. We do not lose heart. We remain constant in the service of God, and we possess the strength to persist and press on in the service of the Lord. So when he says we faint not, he is saying in spite of all of these things, in spite of life, we maintain stamina. We maintain fortitude and resolve in the service of the Lord. So the question must be asked, how did Paul not faint? Because he had it rougher than any one of us. How did Paul not faint? And wherever and however Paul obtained this strength, to faint not is the same for God's people today. In the midst of desperate situations and needs and cares and burdens and difficulties and problems and trials, where do we find the strength to faint not? Not to lose heart. So we want to consider what contributed to Paul's not fainting. And what contributed to him not fainting is what we so desperately need if we're not going to faint. First of all, there was an awareness of being a recipient of God's mercy. Notice verse 1. As we have received mercy. We have received mercy. Every day, Paul knew that he woke up in the midst of the mercy of God. Every day he walked in the midst of the mercy of God. He knew that God had been merciful to him. It was upon his mind. He had the same sentiment that Jeremiah expressed in Lamentations 3 and verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. If we continue to live throughout this day, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. If we wake up tomorrow, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. We are the recipients of God's mercy. That ought to encourage us to press on, to continue on in the service of God. And when you even think about losing heart, just think, you are the recipient of the mercy of God. And that will give you strength to faint not. Secondly, there was a miraculous working of God in him. Notice verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, creation, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul is saying the God who at creation simply commanded the light to shine out of the darkness is the very same God who has shined into my heart. In other words, he had been miraculously illuminated by God. The context, again, the false teachers had convinced the church of Corinth that Paul wasn't even called to the ministry. And he is telling them, I know that God has shined the truth in my heart. But we apply it to everyone of us that are saved. And what it is saying is God has done a pervasive work in the heart. That must be true if we are not going to faint. This pervasive work impacted every aspect of Paul's life. It was a work of God that exhilarated Paul. It was a work of God that impassioned Paul. It was a work that redirected his life. And it is a continual work. God didn't just work in our heart and saving our soul and then leave us alone. He continually works in our heart. And when he does, he redirects our life. And redirecting our life causes us to be able to say with Paul, we faint not. We do not lose heart because God continues to work in our hearts. So there has to be this miraculous working of God within. And this miraculous working of God within will not let us lose heart in the service of the Lord. Thirdly, and this we'll spend our most time on, he lived a life with a heavenly focal point. He says in verse 18, we look not at the things which are seen. He goes on to explain at the end of that verse, the things which are seen are temporal. They're secular. They're material. So he's saying, we look not at the things which are seen. We do not look at the temporal. He is saying my focal point in my life, the center of my attention, what I put emphasis upon, my standard of evaluation is not what is seen with the human eye. If that is your standard of evaluation, you will faint, if you haven't already. He is saying that the impressions upon his life, his attitude, his frame of mind, are not determined by what he sees with the human eye. You need to examine what determines my attitude? What determines my frame of mind? Is it what I see with the physical eye? If so, we'll faint. He is saying that the determining factor in his life was not determined by what he could see with his eye. Now, he's not saying that he never saw the temporal. What he's saying is the temporal is not my focal point. The temporal is not how I evaluate things. It's not how I evaluate life. It's not what I scrutinize. It's not what I meditate upon. He is saying that the things which are seen is not what took hold upon his life. That is why some people, you know, you say, well, they're in a bad mood. Well, they've been in a bad mood for 20 years. It's not just a mood, folks. It's a life. And it's because that which is seen has taken hold upon them. And they fainted a long time ago. They've been passed out for a long, long, long time. But Paul says it's the things that are seen is not what determines, is not what shapes my life. And then he expresses his focal point from the positive, but at the things which are not seen. And he goes on to explain at the end of verse 18, these are the things that are eternal. So what he's saying is that his focal point, his center of attention, his emphasis, his standard of evaluation goes way beyond what he sees with the physical eye. He is saying his attitude, his frame of mind, was shaped by something way beyond what is seen with the human eye. He is saying my focal point, what I meditate upon, is the spiritual rather than the material. To faint not in the service of the Lord requires, absolutely requires, a heavenly focal point. Now, this focal point will cause many things to happen. It caused him to have a conviction and an appreciation for the truth. You'll notice in verse 2 that the Word of God and truth are connected. Paul has a conviction that this book is the Word of God, and if it is the Word of God, it is truth. It is a proper focal point, a constant focal point on the spiritual that gives us this conviction. No matter what I see with the physical eye, this book is truth. That needs to get a hold of us. And that will enable us to press on and never lose heart. Also, this heavenly focal point caused him to know his purpose of life. In verse 5, notice where Paul places the emphasis concerning the endeavors of his life. He says, not ourselves. Need to circle those two words. Not ourselves. But, underline. And then circle Christ Jesus, the Lord. Not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord. He goes on and says, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. Not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Ourselves, for Jesus' sake. Verse 7, that the excellency of the power may be of God. Circle that, be of God. And not of us. Be of God and not of us. In verse 11, notice we live, a few words later, for Jesus' sake. All of those words express his purpose in life, both from the negative and the positive. From the negative, not ourselves, not of us. Those words express the conviction that life is not about us. It's not about us. No matter how much people want it to be, it's not. It's not about us. It's never about us. Well, what about my birthday? It's never about us. It's never about us. It's always about God. Always. The motive, the ground, and basis, and the focus of life negatively is not ourselves. That is, life is not for personal gain. It's not for personal honor. And the world, of course, feeds and attracts and encourages the self-life. And though the ways and the pursuits of the world pull us toward, everything in this world is designed to pull us toward the self-life. And if you get sucked in by that, you will faint. You will lose heart in the service of God. Because when you believe that life is about you, when you become the center, feelings get hurt. And feelings remain hurt. And people lose heart in their service to God. And then 5 years later, they'll say, well, I used to serve God, but so-and-so did such and such, as if it were their fault. And it's not. It's because they had an improper focal point. So our life is to be ourselves for Jesus' sake. That's how we faint not. That needs to, whatever happens in our life, however terrible it might be, however good it might be, we need to remember ourselves for Jesus' sake. That is our purpose in life. That needs to be planted deep, deep within our hearts. It needs to be accepted by us. It needs to be embraced by us. It needs to be our rule. It needs to be the principle of our lives. It needs to clearly define our motives, our reasons, and our purposes for living. So, if we know our proper purpose that enables us to press on, even through the forces of hell without losing heart, we faint not. Also, this heavenly focal point gave him a cause greater than all else. Verse 15, we read the words redound or contribute and lead to the glory of God. And then notice verse 16. Keep in mind the glory of God. Verse 16, for this cause. What's the cause? The glory of God. For this cause, we faint not. That is a motivation that comes from a proper focal point. He realized there was a cause greater than all else. The cause is the glory of God. And because that is our cause, we faint not. There's nothing more important than the glory of God. There's no greater cause in all the world than the glory of God. For this cause, we faint not. Again, this is a result of a heavenly focal point. Also, this heavenly focal point brought daily spiritual renewal to him. Notice verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though, despite the fact that the outward man, these fleshly bodies, perish. They're dying. They're decaying. They're dissolving. He says, in spite of that, yet, which means even still, even while that is going on, even while these fleshly bodies are decaying, the inward man is renewed day by day. So what's he saying? He's saying there is a sense in which I'm getting weaker by the day, physically, in this body. But there is another sense in which I'm getting stronger by the day. The inward man is renewed day by day. That's what is required. If we're not going to faint, there has to be a continual spiritual restart. There are many of God's people. We're going to assume that they're saved, but they need a spiritual restart in their life. The inward man is renewed day by day. It means that there is a spiritual reviving that takes place in us daily. There is a spiritual arousal that takes place in us daily. A spiritual restoration that is going on. And that enables us to faint not. Daily, we need spiritual restart. We need a spiritual restart every day that will awake us, that will change us, that will convince us, that will cause us, that will rekindle within us that which will enable us to press on. To press on. Perhaps the situation is desperate, but the inward man needs to be renewed. And no matter how desperate the situation, the inward man being renewed enables you to press on. No matter how great the problem or the care or the need or the burden or the difficulty or the suffering, spiritual renewal, which comes from a proper focal point. You do not get spiritually renewed looking at things with the physical eye. You get spiritually renewed by looking beyond the physical and seeing God. We see also this heavenly focal point enabled him to make proper evaluation. You ever wonder why people make the same stupid decisions over and over and over and over and over again? And if it comes time for them to make a decision, if you were a betting person, you'd place odds. They're going to make the wrong one. Why? Because their whole evaluating system is off kilter. They're looking at things from the human eye. And by this heavenly focal point enables us to make proper evaluation. Notice verse 17. He's already mentioned his afflictions, he says, for our light affliction. He looks at his affliction as a light thing. Why? Because he's comparing it to what he sees beyond what the human eye can see, which is but for a moment. So he's properly evaluated. His affliction is only going to last for a little while. It may last your whole life, but that's still a little while, comparatively speaking. Worketh for us. Okay, so he realizes that his affliction is but for a moment. It's temporary. He realizes that it works for him. It's working for him. It's not working against him. How does he know that? Does what he sees with the physical eye convince him of that? Of course not. What he sees with the spiritual eye convinces him, these afflictions, they're all working for me. They're all working for me. A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So he has properly evaluated. He has properly assessed the circumstances of life. When we get depressed, when we get down, it's because we've got our eyes on the wrong thing. Yes, bad things happen. Yes, depressing things happen. And if that's what you focus upon, you will become depressed and you will faint. But if you look beyond that, and see the things which are not seen with the human eye, it gives you the strength to continue on. And you do not lose heart. We see also this heavenly focal point gave him great assurance. In verse 14, he says, knowing. In chapter 5, verse 1, for we know. In verse 6 of chapter 5, for we are always confident. In verse 8, we are confident. He was confident in God. And confidence in God will enable you to press on. This heavenly focal point also resulted in a lifestyle. We see that in chapter 5. He says, we walk by faith. We walk describes our life. It describes our pattern of life. It describes our habit of life. He says, we walk by faith, not by sight. That is, my life is not determined by what I see with the physical eye. My life is determined by what I see with faith. So we see this heavenly focal point resulted in a pattern of life. We walk, we live by faith. Lastly, there was also a powerful driving force in his life. If we are not going to faint, there must be a powerful force that drives us. Something that drives us. Chapter 5 and verse 14, he says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Paul is saying, when I think about Christ's love for me, that keeps me going. I faint not. Doesn't matter what else is going on. When I think about how Christ loves me, what that love has done, how can I lose heart? That's the force that ought to drive us. So here we are, living in very trying times. The truth is, there are people, God's people, all around us who have passed out. There they lie. They've passed out. They fainted a long time ago. And we live in days when many have passed out. Now we can stop and we can focus upon that and we'll faint. Or we can look beyond, dwell on the eternal, dwell on the spiritual, and we receive strength to keep going. Every step of the way, there are traps. Every step of the way, whether we realize it or not, there are obstacles to be overcome. Many times we're surrounded by the obstacles. We're troubled on every side. And we tell ourselves, well, once this trouble ends, my life will be better. Well, I've got news for you. When this trouble ends, there's going to be another one. And when that one ends, there's going to be another one. You say, well, that's not very encouraging. That's life. That's life. There's always troubles, always oppositions. But we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. And that enables us the strength to press on. That enables us not to lose heart. So may we say today, we faint not. We faint not. And remember why it is or what enables us not to faint. It's not our own strength. If I or you try to serve God in our own strength, The fall is coming. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of when. You're going to faint. You can't serve God in your own strength. Things are going to arise that are by beyond your strength. And you need to draw strength from Almighty God. And that enables us to press on. Now we all have moments. We get down, we get feeling sorry for ourselves, but I don't believe that's because we're looking on the right things. I've said it many times, I've never been depressed by looking at the eternal. There's just nothing depressing there. If I look at myself, or if I look at others, or if I look at circumstances and I focus upon those things, I can get as down in the dumps as anybody. But that is not what we're to focus upon. We're to look beyond those things. We faint not. You read of Gideon's 300 men. And there's an interesting phrase there. It says they were faint, yet pursuing. Faint, yet pursuing. Talking about their pursuit of the Midianites, the enemies of God. Faint, yet pursuing. In other words, they felt like they were going to pass out. But they just kept going, and kept going, and kept going. And that's how it is sometimes. It feels like, I can't go on, but you just keep on, and you keep on, and you keep on. And then one glorious day, God calls us home. And that's what we're waiting for. But until then, we faint not. That needs to be true of us. We faint not. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry, lead us in singing.